let's talk about some legal things, which you put some opinions out yesterday upon. You know, the words like coup and insurrection and sedition were put out there. Now, there's semantics to that, but at what point, what's your feelings about any of those, and what are the lines to cross to, you know, result in a coup or sedition or an insurrection?
You know, I think coup is a bit misplaced here, in part because we don't recognize the term coup as a term of law in the United States, but we certainly do have laws that forbid sedition. We have laws that forbid insurrection. There's a federal statute that explicitly forbades something called seditious conspiracy, two or more people coming together through the use of violence to obstruct government. And that's exactly what went on yesterday, starting with the conspirator-in-chief, the President of the United States, who, of course, incited these individuals to do exactly what they did.
The other legal question, I guess, is the First Amendment one. You know, we recognize and support and often have debates over right to protest and what that exactly means and what does that protect. At what point do we give up that right, or do protesters give up that right because they've gone too far? Where is that line, and how do you feel about that idea of supporting the First Amendment, but then you take it too far?
Yes, you know, it's often a very difficult line to draw, and it's one that's important to continue to draw very carefully. In the United States, it's perhaps our most revered freedom, the freedom of expression. But in this instance, yesterday, the line was sharply crossed when the individuals used force and violence in an attempt to get into the United States Capitol to disrupt the proceedings of the United States Congress. Those weren't words. They were actions. If they had carried their protests to the steps of the Capitol, as people often do, waved their flags, made their speeches, shouted, issued slogans, made statements on social media, all of that's protected activity. The work inside the building would have gone on. I imagine those individuals wouldn't have even known about what was going on outside, the members of the House and the Senate, except to the extent they're paying attention to their own social media and the like. And all would have gone forward, and members of Congress would have had a much earlier night and been able to get some sleep. They clearly crossed that line, in other words. So there's a often subtle distinction between what is expressive behavior and what is violent action, but that line was clearly crossed yesterday. You only have to look at some images or watch some video to see evidence of that.
Another, I mean, not legal, but sort of governmentally legal issue is we've heard calls now for impeachment and 25th Amendment. Do you have any feelings about that or sense about that? Are you scared of what President Trump might do between now and the 20th, even despite his pseudo, you know, I don't know, acquiescing this morning?
Yeah, I think the president has given us plenty of reason to be fearful about what he might do next. And I think in a perfect world, he would be impeached today, convicted by the Senate tomorrow, removed from office, and forbidden from ever running for president again the day after. That won't happen. I think the wheels of government are not likely to move in that direction or turn so swiftly. Likewise, the 25th Amendment could be invoked by Vice President Pence, who clearly broke with the president yesterday. And perhaps he could find a majority of the cabinet that would sign on to an agreement that the president was incapable of continuing to carry out the duties of his office, and if so, he could be removed for the last 2 weeks of his term on that basis. I don't think that's likely to occur either. I think that, you know, Congress and the vice president and the cabinet will hope that the president has now, acquiesced in what is inevitably going to happen in 2 weeks, that he's going to move out of the building and President-elect Biden will become the president of the United States. So I think we're going to limp along here, but not in a very happy way.
Do you see any, I mean, I'm sure you've had conversations with people for, you know, is there a way forward to break through this increasingly partisan, and partisan is even too little of a word, cultural divide that we're in, so that, you know, we don't have what happens, or we don't have the echo chambers of a lie being repeated over and over, and then people just take that as gospel? Is there a way forward to do what has been, you know, put out there as Joe Biden's task, which is healing? I mean, I'm not sure that's the greatest word, but, you know, to bring us together to try to bridge some of these divides.
Right. That's really the key question, Chris, and it's the major challenge. I think it is the case that we, all Americans, have to learn something from this experience, and we have to try to talk with each other, to learn from each other, learn about the anger, the scorn, the distrust, the feeling of being left behind or ignored that so many Americans must have felt in embracing Donald Trump 4 years ago and continuing to support him throughout all kinds of outrageous excesses and lies that he has sown, particularly over recent weeks, but even throughout his term. A lot of people are feeling that they were passed over or ignored or rejected or overtaken by others in their lives. Their economic plight, first and foremost, has not been advanced, while others, the rich, have been getting richer. The middle and the lower, except for the very bottom, have not been taken care of. And so I think there does need to be a national conversation about core values and what it is the government should be doing for us. But, you know, fortunately, I think that President-elect Biden is the right kind of leader for this moment, because if there's one thing that Biden demonstrates better than perhaps anyone we've had in leadership, it's empathy. He's a great empathetic person. He's known for that, and it's not fake. It's real, and I think he's chosen in Kamala Harris and others in his appointments so far that he's going to have an empathetic team working in the government. But it's not a task that the president or his team can carry out. It's got to, I think, permeate our society right down to Syracuse, New York, and Onondaga County, and other communities where people are going to need to talk about common goals and objectives and what it is the government can do for them.